You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Good afternoon. Reporting remotely for WFHB, this is Benedict Jones.
And I'm Sydney Foreman. This is the WFHB local news for Wednesday, January 20th, 2021.
We have 49 beds inside, and that's the highest we can go and still be in compliance with fire codes. There are some open beds at other shelters too, and hopefully the combination of those will help fill the demand that's out there.
Later in the program, Beacon Incorporated opened a low-barrier emergency winter shelter today for people experiencing homelessness in Bloomington. The low-barrier shelter opens after two city evictions from the encampment at Seminary Park. More on that in today's feature report.
But first, your local news brief.
From WFHB, this is the local news brief for Wednesday, January 20th. I'm Aaron Comforti. Monroe County is averaging about 50 new positive cases of COVID-19 per day. That's according to the Indiana State Department of Health. Although experts consider the department's statistics to likely be undercounted, Monroe County has seen over 9,200 cases of COVID since testing began. Indiana University reports that over 4,200 individuals tested positive on its Bloomington campus alone, meaning that the university is responsible for more than 45% of the county's total cases. The campus's numbers haven't budged much since students went home early at the end of the fall semester, while the county's case count has continued to grow. It's unclear to what degree the university contributed to community COVID spread in the county. About 110 Monroe County residents are known to have died because of complications arising from COVID-19. At this point, Indiana University has not released statistics about its COVID deaths. The state of Indiana released new data on COVID spread in its schools on Monday. As of now, over 22,000 students have tested positive, while about 10,000 teachers and staff have tested positive as well. Locally, Bloomington South High School has recorded just shy of 50 cases total. Bloomington High School North has recorded about half of that. Surrounding counties, including Brown, Green, Owen, Lawrence, Jackson, and Morgan, all have positivity rates at about 20-30%. Brown County Health and Senior Living, an assisted living facility in Nashville, Indiana, has been hit harder by COVID-19 than any other area long-term care facility. It has seen just under 90 positive resident cases, 20 of them have passed away. The facility has seen 50 of its staff test positive as well. Nursing homes have been particularly hard hit by the pandemic, but there may be some light at the end of the tunnel. Indiana residents 70 years old and older are now eligible to sign up for a COVID-19 vaccine. While it's welcome news to many seniors, it's unclear what effect Indiana's vaccine strategy will have. Federal guidelines recommend that states prioritize vaccinating various occupational groups like healthcare workers before seniors, but Indiana and a number of other states have chosen to go a different route. Under the Trump administration's leadership, the United States did not have unified pandemic response policies. This will change, however, with the new Biden administration's COVID response plan. The administration plans on changing the federal guidelines so that more people will be eligible to get vaccinated, like in Indiana. It also plans to mobilize the National Guard and utilize the Federal Emergency Management Agency to aid with the vaccination effort. In a notable shift away from Trump's policies, the Biden administration will also issue a nationwide mask-wearing mandate. Public health experts expect the highly contagious British strain of the COVID-19 virus to become the dominant strain across the U.S. by the month of March. As people around the world are experiencing mask and distancing fatigue, experts recommend it's now the time to double down on safety precautions by reducing time indoors with people who are not in your so-called bubble, by wearing three-layer masks if you have to go into a public indoor space. That's all for your local news brief from WFHB. I'm Aaron Comforti.
At noon today, Joe Biden was inaugurated as the 46th President of the United States. Vice President Kamala Harris was also inaugurated, making history as the first woman of color ever to hold the office. The Biden camp coined the inauguration with the theme, America United, to mark the transfer of power from Donald Trump to the new administration.
To overcome these challenges, to restore the soul and secure the future of America, requires so much more than words. It requires the most elusive of all things in a democracy, unity. Unity.
Joe Biden was sworn in by Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Sonia Sotomayor, who swore in Kamala Harris, who made history as the first woman vice president in U.S. history. Kamala Harris is also the first African-American, first South Asian, first Indian Tamil American, and the first Caribbean American to ever hold the office of vice president. President Donald Trump did not attend the inauguration, making him the first president since Andrew Johnson to not attend the ceremony of their successor. Former Indiana governor and former Vice President Mike Pence did attend the inauguration, as well as the Clintons, the Bushes, and the Obamas. Former President Jimmy Carter and his wife, Rosalynn Carter, were not in attendance, the first inauguration the Carters have missed since 1977.
Since the insurrection at the Capitol, increased national security measures have been taken as 25,000 members of the National Guard surround Washington, D.C. Indianapolis also took heightened security measures in light of the inauguration. The Indiana General Assembly agreed to cancel its sessions this week and close the State House. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, or FBI, put out a press release which says, quote, "The FBI Indianapolis field office and our law enforcement partners are aware of a report indicating there may be protests at state capitol this weekend and leading up to the inauguration on January 20th. There has not been any specific and sustained threat to the Indiana state capitol or other government buildings in the state," end quote. In other state news, Governor Eric Holcomb will give his 2021 State of the State address at 7 p.m. tonight, virtually.
Utilities Director Vic Kelson presented the 2021 water rate case to the Bloomington Utility Services Board for a final vote. Kelson mentioned rate reviews occur every 4 years during their January 19th meeting.
When we did this, the council asked us to bring rate cases on a more regular basis and not stagger them with such long gaps in between. So we decided to do them every 4 years. We had intended to do this rate review and bring a rate case in 2020. With the COVID coming on the scene, we decided to delay that into 2021.
Kelson stated the 2021 rate increase would support maintenance, continue water main replacement efforts, and begin new projects. He mentioned approximately one quarter of water mains are nearing their 100-year life expectancy.
We're spending about $1.7 million per year on water main replacement. That turns out to be about 2 miles or a little bit more than 2 miles per year. So right now we're on about a 200-year replacement schedule. So we feel the need to accelerate that program.
Kelson said monies would also support capital improvement plans. He mentioned the increase would happen in two phases, and phase one effects would not be seen until early 2022. Board member Amanda Burnham clarified phase two would occur in 2024. Kelson mentioned the revenue increase would total 22.2%.
That is distributed across our various customer classes. The last time we did a rate review and a rate case, we increased all the classes across the board at the same amount. We were asked at the time by members of the board and members of the council to to do a cost of service study on our next rate case. The purpose of a cost of service study is to make the the price of water for each of the customer classes reflect the cost of serving that particular customer class.
Kelson said residential customers are currently overpriced compared to other customer classes. He mentioned residential customers would see a maximum increase of about $3.74 per month. Kelson stated irrigation would see the largest increase.
You know, there's a lot to chew here for everybody, and we just thought that going all the way to a complete cost-based pricing for irrigation seemed to be more than anybody could budget for. I think what we've done here is we've taken a sizable step in that direction, and we've defined where things might end up in the future. So people who are irrigators would have, you know, this rate cycle is going to be 4 years long, so there would be plenty of time, we hope, to make plans for whatever changes people might want to make in their irrigation systems in time to be able to handle that.
Kelson said no customer class would see more than a 20% increase in either phase increase. He stated future rate increases will work towards the cost of service. Board members unanimously approved the increase.
The Bloomington Redevelopment Commission discussed a public art agreement with SNEPTOR for the Trades District parking garage. Attorney Larry Allen spoke about the artwork created by Esteban Garcia Bravo during their January 19th meeting.
It's kind of a textured 3D design that also includes some light elements that'll shift over time and are able to be customized. So this will be installed at the conclusion or towards the conclusion as we finish up the construction of the garage here this year.
Allen mentioned the total cost would be $75,000. He said the cost was budgeted in the public works expenses.
We budgeted in this as part of the 1% fund. So the city of Bloomington requires on public works projects such as this for us to reserve 1% to be used for the arts. So this is budgeted in the bond. It can also be paid for through the consolidated TIF, but we anticipate using the garage bonds for this as part of the project.
Allen stated the installation would remain for the life of the garage. He reported a maintenance and cleaning plan are in the works. Board member Cindy Canarney questioned Allen about maintenance costs.
Hey, Larry, what's the ongoing maintenance cost of this on an annual basis, maybe? Looks like there's lighting and other things.
We don't anticipate it being very high. I think the big part of it is going to be making sure that we have one of the things that we were interested in and why we engaged in this conversation early is that there's some sort of cleaning manual so that our regular staff could easily clean this piece of art and hopefully keep it viable. I don't think it would be anything, at least initially, we don't foresee anything other than light bulbs if they burn out. We guess that'd be LED lighting at this point, would be LED lighting. So that has a very long lifespan. There shouldn't be anything more than the cleaning cost associated with it.
Board members unanimously approved the agreement.
Beacon Incorporated opened a low-barrier emergency winter shelter today for people experiencing homelessness in Bloomington. The low-barrier shelter opens after two city evictions from the encampment at Seminary Park. In today's feature report, you will hear from Forrest Gilmore, Executive Director of Beacon Incorporated, Harry Collins, co-founder of the Bloomington Homeless Coalition, and concerned residents about the city's action at Seminary Park.
A low-barrier emergency winter shelter is set to open tonight for people experiencing homelessness in Bloomington. Reverend Forrest Gilmore, Executive Director of Beacon Inc., announced the opening of Beacon's winter shelter in an interview with WFHB correspondent Aaron Conforti on Monday.
What prompted Beacon to establish the new shelter, and when does it open?
Yeah, it was prompted by urgency. We had this significant issue, of course, in our community about Seminary Park and people sleeping there, and trying to deal with the city's desire to remove them. And so as part of that, we went out, our street outreach team went and did a survey of all the people experiencing homelessness who were sleeping in the parks. And we did a by name list of all the folks that we could count in the in Seminary. And of those people, we interviewed 44 distinct people, 39 of whom were sleeping in Seminary Park or said they were sleeping in Seminary Park. So that kind of blew us away in terms of the need out there. We knew also that there were probably another additional 20 or so people sleeping in camps in other parts of the city. So we're looking at 60 to 65 at least people sleeping outside in camps throughout the city. And that number just shocked us. We thought maybe there was 15 to 20 people who were sleeping outside. But when we did that actual name by name survey, we discovered it was so much more and well beyond the shelter capacity of our community.
The low barrier shelter will open inside the warehouse across from Switchyard Park on the south side of Bloomington. Gilmore talked about how he hopes to fill the demand of housing for community members experiencing homelessness.
We have 49 beds inside, and that's the highest we can go and still be in compliance with fire codes. There are some open beds at other shelters too, and hopefully the combination of those will help fill the demand that's out there.
The new winter shelter opens after the city of Bloomington issued two evictions of people experiencing homelessness at Seminary Park, despite CDC guidelines on homeless encampments, which made clear that encampments should be allowed to stay up so long as the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic continues. The latest eviction by the city came 1 week before students returned to Indiana University for their second semester. Last Thursday, members of the public were invited to express their concerns about Seminary Park during a City Council Public Safety Committee meeting. Councilmember Jim Sims noted that the committee did not invite Mayor John Hamilton to the meeting. Councilmember Isabel Piedmont-Smith expressed disappointment, saying she thought it was important that the mayor hear from the public. WFHB Assistant News Director Sydney Foreman reported on that meeting earlier this week. That report was read by WFHB anchor Alex Dieterer.
The Bloomington City Council Public Safety Committee held a discussion on the unhoused population in Bloomington during their January 14th meeting. Community member Tassie Giannetti spoke about Wheeler Mission.
Two nights ago, we've been watching the park for activity at night, and there was a gentleman, and he was sitting on the bench at the bus stop, and he had a blanket over him, and that was just where he was. And so we went over to check on him, and we managed to get him into a tent, and Wheeler came to pick people up, and I said, would you like to go to shelter? It'll be so much warmer. And he said, where would I go? And I said, Wheeler is here to pick you up. He said, no. And then I can't say what he actually said right after that. And I said, look, but it would be, I understand you're in this tent and it's slightly better than sitting on a bench, but we didn't have a heater there for him, but he just wouldn't, it wasn't something he would entertain. And I know that Wheeler doesn't necessarily mean to put people off, but that's the fact of the matter, that some of these people would rather sit on a bench in the middle of the night under a blanket than go there.
Bloomington Homeless Coalition member Mark Teller stated Seminary Park residents have chosen to stay in the park. He said the location provides comfort.
This is their home. That's their neighborhood. That's where they feel comfortable. That's right next to all of their amenities that they can get, the food, the day shelter, the showers. Short of that, they would have to walk miles to just get warm clothes, possibly walking through situations to get hot food.
City resident Timothy Clark said the city's homeless evictions do not keep the community safe. Community member Tyler Burkabayo mentioned his experience with Wheeler Mission.
I went to Wheeler. It was really unsanitary in there. They had like a plastic tarp that separated the beds. And it people had cut holes in that, you know, people were coughing, people were not wearing their masks, not social distancing. And I had my face covered with my mask, even while I was laying down, had my hat pulled over my face, and the blanket I had over my mouth, and also the inner of my elbow over my mouth too, because I didn't feel comfortable breathing.
Homeless Coalition member Heather Lake explained her involvement bringing encampment residents warm drinks in the morning. She expressed concern for the residents' safety.
I don't know where some of my friends are. And these people are my friends. They call me the coffee lady. We give hugs when we see each other. I know things about them. I know, you know, that one man, he makes up the most beautiful songs just off the top of his head, and he'll sing them to me. I know another man who we've had wonderful conversations. The first time that I met him, he was outside shivering in the cold and he wouldn't take a jacket. And I said, oh, I'm a grandma. Okay. You need to listen to a grandma and put on your jacket. And so he did. And from then on, he's been calling me grandma, and I haven't seen him lately, and I don't know where he is, and I don't know if he's okay.
Resident Kay Goodman stated the homeless population is in crisis. Councilmember Isabel Piedmont-Smith mentioned a meeting would be held on January 25th to discuss long-term homelessness solutions.
At least 12 police officers were at Seminary Park at 3 p.m. on Thursday. Under police watch, contractors from Centerstone and Wheeler Mission removed campers' belongings. Camp residents and supporters collaborated to move as much as possible to new camping locations. Some campers chose to move their tents off an easement into the center of the park in the hope that they would be able to stay. Campers were ultimately evicted a few minutes before 11 p.m., as members of the Parks Department loaded tents and belongings onto trucks with flatbed trailers. According to reporting by Dave Askins of the B-Square Beacon, quote, officers and park staff got an earful from around two dozen activists as they removed the camping gear, end quote. At around 4 p.m. on Thursday, Harry Collins, co-founder of the Bloomington Homeless Coalition, talked to WFHB about the city's planned eviction of campers at Seminary Square Park.
The police just came in and it's telling everybody they have to move today. We're trying to figure out how to kind of buy these guys a little bit of time where we can get stuff moved. But yeah, right now it's a little hard to do because the police really don't know who's in charge, and apparently the city don't know who's in charge, so. There's several people here that's in different organizations, and we pull together to do what we need to do. They won't tell us anything. They just said they need to get out of here. There is a location over there that we've been trying to move some people to, but we can't force anybody to move. So we've been moving some. We've been moving people that does want to go down there. It is not in city jurisdiction, so the city does not have a say-so on that one. And at that point, that's pretty much where that stands. We started to make sure the homeless has a voice and to get the help we need, not just getting kicked underneath the rug and oh, you're homeless. You can wait. We've got more important things. No, we're part of this county. We're part of the city. We deserve the same help that a college kid would get, or in any. Anybody out here that's in a house, we deserve the same respect and same help.
Collins was highly critical of the Mayor Hamilton administration in our interview. Here's what he said of the city of Bloomington's decision to evict campers at Seminary.
Leave us the f*** alone. I know the police, they're getting that this is their job. That I don't like they have to do this job. But I can respect the fact that they are doing their job because that's how they get paid. Just like if you're working out here in a factory or anything, you've got to do your job or you no longer have a job. And I was born and raised in this town, so I know quite a few of the police around here, and they know me very well. So I can respect them. I don't like what they're having to do, and a lot of them don't even like what they're having to do. The mayor, which if you look at the signs, it's the mayor's bull that, in my opinion, that I will stop my phrase on that one because of the fact that I really think he should just be the fuck out of office. He needs to be the fuck impeached. Put somebody in there that actually knows what this city needs, not somebody that's just, well, taking money and don't give a shit about nobody. He's tearing down neighborhoods to put up more expensive houses and letting them do it, which is taking more, which is going to end up being more of us out here. He needs to get the out of office.
On Monday night, approximately 150 people gathered to march in protest of the evictions of people experiencing homelessness at Seminary Park. Concerned citizens gathered at Seminary at 9 p.m. and marched through the freezing rain to Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton's home. The event was organized by Bloomington Homeless Coalition volunteers and Bloomington's unhoused population. Demonstrators led the march to Hamilton's home, holding signs which read, quote, "Everybody's got a right to live, and fight poverty, not the poor," end quote. Five demonstrators spoke outside Hamilton's home about their experience with city policies regarding people experiencing homelessness. The crowd even directly addressed Mayor Hamilton outside of his home, but Hamilton did not greet them. Beacon Inc. has posted on their Facebook page that there has been a groundswell of support from the community to open up the new winter shelter during this pandemic. Forrest Gilmore reflected on the community action taken to open the low barrier shelter in such an urgent time frame.
Just to see the outpouring of support and people coming out to help and to get it open is just remarkable, and it's just a testament to how much this community really cares. We recognize that there are so many risks and threats for people, especially, you know, who are sleeping outside, and trying to create this safe space is just remarkable. I think our community gets that it's winter and it's in a pandemic, and these are particularly dangerous times. And given that danger, we need to find a safe response for people who are sleeping outside.
For WFHB News, I'm Cade Young.
You've been listening to the WFHB Local News. Today's headlines were written by Aaron Comforti, Cade Young, and Sydney Foreman in partnership with CATS, Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Cade Young, Aaron Comforti, and Sydney Foreman.
Our theme music is provided by Mark Bingham and the Social Climbers. Our engineer and executive producer is Cade Young. For WFHB, I'm Sydney Foreman.
And I'm Benedict Jones. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast, as well as all other WFHB news programming online at WFHB.org.
You too can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@WFHB.org.
Stay tuned for the Transmission Times. Radio Diaries from the Coronavirus Pandemic. That's coming up next on WFHB Community Radio.
You've been listening to the WFHB Local News on WFHB Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news@wfhb.org. You can become a WFHB local news volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. Feel free to check out the WFHB local news archive at wfhb.org to find newscasts, individual stories, and catch a live feed of the WFHB local news. We are local, longer,